This is HPR episode 2586 entitled HPR Community News for June 2018 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 59 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in June 2018.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio Community News, the news that they couldn't stifle. Nothing fake about this, is there, Dave?
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, joining me tonight, first of all, HPR is a community podcast network where the shows are contributed by listeners like you. In fact, very much like you, and we would appreciate it if you did in actual fact contribute a show. And this show is something that Dave and I and several other people, actually the community, put on every month to look back at what's been going on in the HPR universe. And we usually go through the shows, first of all, then we go through some of the comments that there are, and then we talk about stuff that's on the mailing list and anything other business that happens to come up. It is traditionally recorded on the Saturday before the first Monday of the month, although that's cutting it kind of short to get it edited and up to archive.org now, so we may have to reevaluate that one later. Yeah. Joining me tonight is...
Hello, it's Dave Morris. I was just about to speak before it was my turn. We'll talk about whether we can change the timing a little bit, I guess. I'm pretty flexible, so I'm sure we could come up with something.
Okay. Let's see. On the 1st of June, we had the New Year's Eve show.
That doesn't seem odd at all.
Not at all. No, not at all. And the last line of the comments, Ken Fallon, the fastest solderer in the West, able to solder a component tester in a single show. Very funny. Har, 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 har.
yes, that was a good comment there.
It was, yes. Which didn't work, by the way. There was no comments on that show. And speaking of which, that component tester is now in the hands of NY Bill. Okay, let's see what happens there. The following day, we had the community news, and there are two comments on that show. The first one was from Tlake. The group of tabs is in the windowing of it. I've never looked into tab grouping because what I do if my tabs start becoming unwieldy is I drag one of them out of the window and it becomes a new window. I may drag other tabs into the new window if they belong together. You people who use tab groups, do you do this as well, giving two-dimensional tab grouping, or does grouping replace multiple windows? And this was in relation to one of the shows about that we were talking about the tab group.
You know, I can't remember what that was now. I mean, I know about tab groups. I don't remember the discussion very much.
It was Mr. X's My Favorite Browser Extension.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, yes. So I replied to Clacke saying, no, I don't use multiple windows. Not in that context anyway. In my case, I use tab groups to keep useful and related websites together to make context switching simpler. For example, in Pale Moon, I have a group per HPR series or project. When I'm in the mood to prepare a new HPR show, I run it on my right-hand monitor with GVim on the left. Type in the notes, that means. And I usually have Vivaldi, Chromium, Iceweasel running on different XFCE desktops as well. And all of these have pinned tabs so I can easily visit various HPR pages, the most used pages on my local media wiki, blah, 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 blah. I won't read it all. So it's probably barely organized chaos, but I like it. Smiley face.
Cool. What I have is a tab toolbar, and each tab has just got a very short one or two letter thing. So like W for a wiki, and then so I'm able to squash in all the important ones. And then I can group them underneath that using a drop down list. And you can always, using the bookmark manager, export it to a web page. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I did quite like Mr. X's explanation of all that. So, but I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. Interesting subject, though.
Very. The following day, we had Son of Honky Punk. And this was a follow-up on the Frotz episode by Claudio. So, don't know if you're a gamer, Dave?
Not really. I'm interested in this whole Zed Machine business, which is quite fun. And I quite like some of these old games, the stuff like Zork and stuff like that, that are quite amusing, just as examples of how things were.
Back in the day.
My son and his girlfriend were quite absorbed with that when we visited the Edinburgh Hack Lab, and they had an example of it. You know, it's such a different concept if you've not been brought up that way.
Yes, indeed. And if you hear all sorts of background noises here, and I think on your side, Dave, it's because it's surprisingly hot over here and we don't have air conditioning in the houses, so the doors are open.
Yeah, same here. My window's open. The little boy next door he's just about to be one tomorrow, I think, and he has a good pair of lungs on him. That's a happy sound, I should add, but
yeah,
it's a sound anyway.
So the next day we had what may be a series by Tlatu on a personal finance and the various different problems. And my reaction to this episode was put my hands over my ears and go, no, can't hear.
Yes.
I should be doing this stuff, but I'm not.
Well, I can't say I've been particularly good at it. It's just that I happen to have worked in the university sector, and they used to force you into a retirement scheme, which is actually at one point the best in the country, which I'm currently living on, you know, so they did it for me. I was just sort of standing there with my mouth open going, duh, what do I do?
Okay, then.
You have to put money in there. Okay, that's fine. So, yeah, I think we should all be very, very much more aware of how this all works than maybe a lot of us are.
I laughingly suggested that I should go out and just get myself put into jail, you know, because you get free healthcare and rooms, and you can schedule when your relations come to visit. They just don't randomly drop into you like in an old folks home. You know what I mean?
There might be some downsides there, though, Ken.
There could be one or two. Yeah, free education and all sorts, you know. You know, are you rehabilitated? No, I'm still the same old, same criminal I used to be.
Recidivist, that's me, yeah.
Norris said, recent podcast on the US Social Security. If you're interested in my other favorite podcast, just did a show on Social Security, and this is the NPR Social Insecurity. There, good little link.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And the next day was Tlatu with a tabletop gaming show, Pandemic Reign of Cthulhu, is it?
Cthulhu,
that's right, yes.
Yeah, good stuff.
I like these ones.
Yeah. Sounds interesting game.
Yeah, sooner or later I'm going to have to do a few shows myself on this, so you get me interested in tabletop gaming. So PenguinCon 2018 report, the traditional report that Ahuka sends in, really enjoy this. It's give us a good flavor of at least his view of the show, but I'm sure 5150, as they didn't meet up for the whole festival, had a completely different view. It would be interesting to hear his version.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I also like Ahuka's reports from this thing. It does make it sound like a lot of fun.
And
I'm almost sad that I could never make such a thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's nice to get a little insight from him, though. That compensates.
It's like, yeah, I was just sitting down and I go, oh, it's that time of year already, the report from PenguinCon, you know, it's now become a tradition. So, yeah. The following day, another tabletop, Kill Dr. Lucky. And this one sounded actually quite like something that I get into. I like the logic of it and the team, the counterintuitive or the counter aspect that you need to make form allegiances to prevent somebody from winning.
So, Yeah. No, it's the fact that it's sort of reversed form of other types of games sounded most intriguing. Very unusual.
Yeah, very cool. The next day we had Bookworm with What's in My Toolkit, and there was not one thing in this that I would not have had in my own toolkit when I was back doing network IT. And I'm going, yep, would have that. Personally, I'm a bit jealous of the Sony noise-canceling headphones at the minute, but there you go. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've always wanted to buy some of those and never quite got around to it. They're not that hard to get hold of, are they? But
they're expensive as well.
They're a bit expensive, yeah. There's some people use them for, you know, protecting their ears in noisy situations as well as, you know, just being able to listen to stuff without interruptions and so on. But, tempted. But yeah, it's a hell of a list,
Klaatu with his Git series, Foundations of a Git Rebase. And thanks very much, Klaatu, for the show notes. I know how painful that is for you to do, but I do appreciate it because this one really benefited from having a few show notes to get the sync order of what was going on there.
Yeah, those are great notes. Yeah, much appreciated.
And Klaatu again with personal cash only finance. And we need, this is the time of year when the old regulars come out because we get very short of shows and we need to rely on the stalwarts of the network to come in with shows. And of course, this is the time of year that you start earning trust with the community if you start submitting shows at this time of year. Just saying. Personal. Anyway, nice this one. Show was personal cash only finance. And do you want to read the comment on that?
Yeah, this was from JWP, who said, this show about cash. Hi, Klaatu, always interested to see what you will bring up. I, too, for a long time, when cash only went, perhaps he meant, I do keep a card in the glove box or bring it traveling, but I find I spend less if I just use cash. Also, if you can, I really enjoy many of your topics, might you get a better headset sometimes? It's hard for me to hear exactly what you say. Audio quality between Jupiter Broadcasting and Dave Morris quality would be greatly valued. I'm not sure which end of the spectrum I am there, but...
I think you should cut Klaatu some slack because he sends in the shows on in AUG. Due to largely, I think, the bandwidth limitations that he has in New Zealand, where he's living.
Yes. The internet connectivity in New Zealand ain't great, according to my son's visit there and stuff like that. So, yeah. No, I've not really noticed that particularly, personally. It's very audible and understandable, I find, but everybody's different.
Yeah, we always strive for better audio quality, but as JWP knows, any audio is better than no audio. Speaking of which, JWP, I need your show. Thanks. We were had a bit of a strange one there when he was sending in a show, and the confirmation emails didn't seem to go out. However, the log showed that it did, and when I tried a email on going to the same server, it worked. So if anybody has problems with uploading, always please try and contact us if you can. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it looked like the problem was in the mail server, given that it actually received the message.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to discuss things or find out what strangenesses there are on your side, on the mail server side.
It's tough because with mail issues, I've had it in work as well, where mail from one address, one company to one of my addresses is just disappearing, whereas on the exact same server and alias works fine. It's just bizarre. Yeah.
Mail can be very, very strange.
Yep. Thanks, spammers, for that. Thank you very much. The following day, we had quick tips for June 2018. Operator, and I like this. He's just making sort of audio notes. He made five audio notes. Some people might have said that could have been five perfectly good shows.
Who would say that?
who do we know that would say that? But okay, fine. Waste shows if you want to. Can openers. Can't even remember the last time I used a can opener for some reason.
I do use them occasionally. But the manual type, was this an electric one or something?
Yeah, I think it's one of the ones that you put your can into and it spins around and stuff. That's quite cool.
I've never wanted one of those particularly. Just more gadgets to stick on the wall or whatever. So just the one you keep in the drawer, it works fine for me. And so many cans have got the doodad that you open them with built in.
Yeah, the pop thing, yeah. Like a opening a soda can or something.
Yeah.
But I liked his other ones. Humidifier makes a lot of sense. The Power Wheels thing is kind of funny. I had to Google, or DuckDuckGo actually, what a Power Wheels was. It's, you know, one of those kids cars.
Right. Yeah. I didn't do a follow up on this one, I'm afraid. So I'm in the dark.
So I always wanted one of them when I was young. Probably every kid in Ireland wanted one as well, and you only ever see them on American, you know, movies, okay, Richie Rich, yeah, yeah, or something like that. And the free anonymous email over Tor, that was a good tip in general, that sometimes sites are quite onerous with their requirements, but if you create your account somewhere else, then they're not as onerous. So quite an interesting one to keep in the back of your head.
Cool.
My Swedish and German podcast list. And I've marked it down to, I was thinking Computer und Kommunikation is something that I might actually subscribe to, just to, not that I'm that brilliant at German, it's just, I think it's close enough to Dutch that I might be able to, via osmosis, pick up something about what's going on.
Yeah. I'm afraid I'm not going to try. I could just about struggle through something in French if they didn't speak too fast, but that's about the limit of my language knowledge.
However, I have found that learning a language is a lot easier when you're talking about a tech subject, especially computer stuff, because, you know, there's going to be enough buzzwords in there, like blah, 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 cloud computing, blah, 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 you know, hackers, blah, 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 you know, free software, that you get enough of what's going on, you know. So it's kind of...
Yeah, you can get a fair bit in by context. That's how you can, you know, you sometimes understand a conversation if you're in a different country, and by just the context and various keywords and stuff, because there's a lot of commonality between the various languages, isn't there?
Yeah,
and that's the experience in Scandinavian countries, that you can actually suddenly use, oh, this, I understood that sentence almost. Yeah.
Except for the one word at the end that makes it negative, and they are.
There is that, yeah. Yes. Send us a word order and that sort of stuff can really angle your understanding.
So I commented on this one. I really did enjoy the expression home country of choice. Because I really, as somebody who has moved somewhere else, this is my home country of choice. It's not to say my home country isn't there's anything wrong with it. It's just it adds a level of attachment to your relationship with the place where you're living. I think it's brilliant. As this show is released under the Creative Commons, I will be referring to Folky every time that I mention it, giving him the proper attribution. So as Folky says in his show, episode HBR 2576.
Cool.
Yeah.
Clinton Roy says, an English / German recommendation. I quite like the Omega Tau Science and Engineering podcast. It comes in both English and German forms. I don't think they translate the content. It's just different stories for the different language podcasts. And that's actually true. I think I recommended this one in one of my list of podcast thingies.
Yeah.
And I listen regularly. It's long, but they're wow, Does it go into some detail? Amazing.
Yeah.
Good. What was it? His Superconductors was his latest one. Wow, that's so much stuff I'd never heard of before. Very, very good.
Indeed. And Folky says, thank you, Clinton Roy. That one I didn't know. I found their homepage at omegatowpodcast.net and shall give the dual language feed a go on the server list, omegatow.net, category podcast feed. There you go. And so we share and so we learn. Immigration, hosted by Klaatu. Confused about leaving your homeland for greener pastures. I actually wanted to do a follow-up episode on this, and then I'm thinking I shouldn't. Well, yeah, I don't know. It would be more like a travel book than being actually able to offer anything of advice. I'm not sure. I'll have a think about it.
Yeah.
One of these ones that I thought, okay, well, I've lived in the UK and Ireland, and well, my wife immigrated to Ireland, and then we immigrated to the UK, and then we immigrated here. It would be hard to do a show without tactful. Very difficult to do a tactful show without pissing off three different countries. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There are issues and what idiosyncrasies perhaps with different countries. As I mean, Klaatu made a few side comments to the effect that some of these things are easier in some countries than others. It is actually quite telling. And the whole business of visas can be just a means of getting money off you.
Exactly.
No good reason. And not talking about any particular country, but being caught by that one in the past. So yeah, it's a emotive subject, I imagine. But nevertheless, the process of giving an insight into this, if it's something you might be thinking of, is really, really useful, especially from somebody who's had this type of experience, I think.
Yeah, I'll possibly. One thing that was quite funny was the visas. When I was going to Algeria, traveling on my Irish passport, I only had to pay a fraction of what, like one-fifth of what the Dutch people had to pay because Ireland hadn't pissed them off in some way. So it was cheaper to get a visa.
Strange. Yeah. I went to Indonesia with my wife-to-be many years ago, and we were not clear about visas to go to Indonesia from the UK. So I did this thing that you should perhaps never do, and contacted the embassy. And of course, the answer was yes. I got there, and they said, "Why do you have a visa? You didn't need that." And it was something like 50 quid, you know.
Wow.
So yeah. And you have to send your passport off to get it.
Yeah, I know.
Bus ticket thing stuck in it, don't ever do that.
And then you go to Cuba, and you want a stamp on your passport, but they won't give you one. They give you a piece of paper that you slip in so that you can take it out. So if you were an American, you didn't have a visa, but you had the stamp. So it was kind of really weird.
Yes.
Anyway, Linux Logcast 102, the Lost episode. This was quite colourful from a language point of view, but
yes, it was slight. I mean, we'd been warned, but
we had
still kind of slight shock. not that I'm overly bothered, but it's just that, you know, you don't normally expect it from that quote.
Yeah, you're listening to the Linux Logcast, and you're like just in the groove, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, somebody said, it's like somebody farted in front of Oma.
yes.
But yeah, it's kind of, it was great that they were able to put it on this feed. And
it was most interesting, I thought. It was an insight into some working practices and stuff. I'm so glad I'm not in technical support like that.
The picture
was being painted there. Not good. But it was nearly 4 hours, I think, wasn't it, in total?
Yeah. 3 hours 52 was a whack.
Yep. So I think I managed to shrink it to 304 by doing silence truncation speed up. So.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't find the 3 hours going through, actually. It was really enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things you look at it, no, not 4 hours, I can't take it. And then you think, oh, is it finished already?
Yeah, exactly.
I did enjoy it, yes, very much.
Ubuntu 18.04 Mate by Tony Hughes, Aka, Tony H. 1212. Now that we fixed that, and he was the first one.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's meant to say AKA, but that used to say Aka, but now it says AKA. I think unless we've got a problem.
JWP says, "Great little update, Tony. Always nice to hear from you again. Sadly, I'm driving Animate right now. Only two. I'm probably not driving Animate." Right now, only two 1604 boxes. Maybe after 1604.01. Thanks so much for the update.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a nice show. I like Tony's shows. He's
indeed.
He gives some nice detailed information about things and sort of experience. What was it? Stream of consciousness type experiences.
No, but he writes it down here. So
yeah, yeah, and some notes too. Yeah, some brilliant notes. Yeah, I love them.
So the next day we had Ahuka talking about diabetes, and I didn't want to hear this one either, thank you very much. But yeah, so glad he did this. It's and it all makes an awful lot of sense. I'm also glad to hear that he's able to live his life pretty much normally now, so good on him, as they say.
Yes, they do say that type 2 diabetes can be effectively cured, but it's sort of by the way you live and the way you eat and stuff, you can effectively negate it. If you don't, of course, then all those nasty consequences will hit
yep.
you.
Yep.
As a type 2 diabetic myself, I'm aware of this. So, you know, you just got to be really, really careful with it and live accordingly. It's a scourge of our times, really. I imagine a lot of people have had it in the past and not known and died mm-hmm. as a
yeah,
consequence.
Yeah, exactly.
But so be thankful that we have the knowledge and the ways of avoiding the effects.
God, sometimes I think I'd just love to go off and live on an island in the middle of somewhere, and then I think, right, in the last year I've had a new tooth put in, I've had this, two operations on my back, blah, blah, blah. Maybe living in the Middle Ages wouldn't be that cool.
No, there were no golden ages sometimes back then. No. It was all smallpox and typhoid and
yeah.
all that sort of nasty stuff.
I'm afraid we're going to have to skip the next show because, to be frank, I'm very, very envious of this this piece of kit, so we'll just simply move on, not even mention your 3D printer.
It's not really mine, actually, I discovered, because it came in and my son
yeah.
was saying, did you buy a 3D printer, Dad? Yeah, yeah. Oh, can I help you unpack it? And that was the signal that said, you better be quick, because I'm going to be unpacking it before you get to it. And so it's been an interesting battle between the two of us as to who gets to use it most. He's winning at the moment. I don't mind. It's great. He's doing really well with it. So we'll have to write. I want him to do something, actually, but do a show, but somehow or other we'll report our experiences on it. Yeah,
cool. Fun. Two, please. Next one is three contribution case studies. This is Tlatu again, on ways to contribute to projects and the like. Although he didn't make reference to HPR, while he did at the end, he was quite happy with the way we're getting people to contribute. And he also mentioned that there's two things that he mentioned about how we could help. Oh yeah, interviewing, that if somebody didn't know what show to do at any time that you're stuck like that, if you're out there thinking, oh, I couldn't possibly know what show to do, please contact us, myself or yourself, Dave, or the email
Absolutely.
List, and there's loads of people would be more than happy to have a chat here with you. I've seen loads of hosts come on thinking they had nothing to talk about and are now in the depths of several series. Don't you know, Dave?
yeah. Seems impossible when you say it like that, but it happens. Yeah, I thought the idea of actually having a sort of
face-to-face conversation, as it were, to talk about things, which would be really a really nice idea. You know, it's a way of having somebody else run the show and you contribute your bits to it in the form yeah. of a dialogue, which is pretty much what we're doing here, isn't it? But it's a nice way of working things if you're not quite sure how to just launch yourself off into the void of producing a show.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, this is why we recommend the Introduce Yourself show as the first one just to kick off. You just sit down in front of a mic and say, hi, I'm whoever, and this is how I ended up listening to HPR, and that's good enough of a show. It's nothing more than introducing yourself to the community, and then you're a member of the community already. So, yeah, cool. Good start. Other services we provide for those who don't know is we do narration. If ever somebody has a script or for any reason is unable to talk or doesn't wish to physically talk, if you send us the script, we will read it out for you. Nary a problem there. And that's also if you're concerned that what you're writing would in any way reference back to you, we can always submit your shows anonymously under the various Creative Commons artists. So we will always open to hearing about people. There was just one tiny point that I made in the comments that we don't approve shows. I know that's not what he meant. We process them. So we do not approve shows. And if you go to Stuff You Need to Know, .php, not moderated, your show will not be moderated. We do not vet, edit, moderate, or in any way censor any of the shows on the network. We trust you to do that. Aside from checking snippets for audio quality and spam checking, we have a policy that we don't listen to the shows before they're aired. This is a long-standing tradition arising from the fact that HPR is a community of peers who believe that any host has as much right to submit shows as any other. HPR 2210 on freedom of speech and censorship describes the agreed approach to this topic.
Very good.
Just thought I had to mention that. A random rant on US sound recording copyright laws and weird and how I missed Juice Penguin. Couldn't agree more with this entire thing. And I find it frustrating that the US, air quotes, intellectual property is being spreading like a virus around the world when there are other ways of rewarding artists that could be and should be explored. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just remind me of Juice Penguin. I remember the name, but I don't remember the shows.
It was, I think it was an amalgamation of various artists sending in Creative Commons shows, a bit like The Love Bug, but without the waffle.
Okay.
And I mean that with the best possible respect, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Okay. That sounds. Yeah, I would agree with that. But it's a shame it's gone away. Then sounds.
I think it was like a sort of a HBR sort of approach, only every week or possibly every month. So if they want HBR's help in bringing that back to life, more than welcome to do that here.
Indeed.
And actually, I was going through my now 200 or so songs that I have in my Creative Commons folder, and I was just thinking, yeah, if I randomly picked five of those for a while, then we have several shows that we could release. So, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Following day, Lost in Bronx, in the series which has yet to be named, plot twists in storytelling, and I had to go back. He made a reference to the Usual Suspects, and what was the other one he mentioned that about the Russian spy Yuri?
Drawing a blank there, sorry.
Give me 2 seconds. No Way Out, yes. The film with Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah. I remember now. Mm-hmm.
And again, he made a reference to a story where he was throwing it together, and I was thinking, yes, again, another story that I wanted to hear. And I managed to get my hands on his book from Amazon. Very impressed with the quality, because I wanted to support the artist anyway, as you do. And Motherload, I've got got an actual copy of his book from Amazon. And you know what? It's got an ISBN number. It feels like a book. You open the pages and you flick right through it. And the fact that it's a Creative Commons book doesn't in any way seem to alter the fact that you can read it. So pretty cool.
That is interesting. Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize he'd done that. I must go and check that out myself.
So the following day was a show to check, and this is the last one of the month, to check if a remote control was working, done by me. So comparing our two shows, Dave, I think your one might be a smidgen higher on the quality ladder. But
so.
Well, I was amazed because, you know, I work in the basically for a cable company doing TV and stuff, and we have set-top boxes around all the time, and the guys were going, I don't know if this remote is working. I go, just flipped up my camera, and I went, what are you doing? Yeah, this thing, I thought everybody knew how to do this. And then they were going around to each other saying, hey, did you know this would happen? So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that that cameras did do the conversion of infrared in the way you were describing. I also didn't know that a lot of remote controls are RF rather than
yeah.
I thought that the majority we had in this house, because we only got old ones from ancient TVs. I thought they were all infrared because you could do weird things with it. The kids and I used to play where if you pointed the remote control at a bouncy surface, you could turn the TV on and off, change channels. You know, you point it well away from the TV because it was reflecting off. And that must have been infrared rather than RF, mustn't it? Well, maybe. That didn't prove it, did it? No. But that's what we used to mess around with. We didn't want to watch the telly. We just wanted to switch it on and off.
Yeah, I love that TV Be Gone thing where they have a generic remote control. That,
I've always wanted one of those, yes.
Yeah, turn off TVs and pubs. I never understood English. That's one of the culture shocks in England was, and I just could not understand televisions and pubs and fucking slot machines and pubs. I just don't get that.
I must admit there's been times, because I go to the gym a couple of times a week and they have televisions everywhere. And there's some, the daytime TV is so dire. You can't, you know, all the machines are pointing at them. I thought it'd be fantastic to have a TV Be Gone just while I'm on.
Yeah.
It's a bit mean though, because it means that those people who want to watch Jeremy Kyle or some other drivel can't. So edifying, wonderful programs can't do so.
Oh. Yes. I know exactly what you mean. M.I. Bill said, and there's one more. I found this out by accident in my youth, that if you point a remote at an electric guitar pickup while it's plugged into an amp, it goes did, add distortion or reverb to your liking. I thought that's pretty cool. I need to try that.
Yeah. How does that work? I would be interested to know what's going on there. Cool.
Cool, that's it. That's the shows. And then let me have a look and see. Seven comments from previous shows. And the first one is how I'm handling my podcast subscriptions and listening. And this was by Folky. And I think this is a response to Bjorn again's comment, great topic, fun to hear from others. Thanks for sharing. And Folky says, change links to my Gits. Basically he's moved from Git Hub to GitLab. Wonder why that happened. And if you're wondering why that happened, it's about the fact that GitHub has been bought by Microsoft.
Yes. I actually had a little dialogue with him about that, and I changed the actual links as well and put a editor's note on that particular page. So the comments are a little bit superfluous, but you know, I added a thing to say, editor's note changed according to the thing, so you don't have to go and retype, you know, grab the link and then retype it to get where you want to go. So
cool stuff. Yeah. Thanks for doing that. This was on a show from 2016, Brian in Ohio. Not the oldest comment we've ever had on a show, but from Math Man Art Club. Great show, and it sounds like a great way to delve into one of the mainstays of human life, sharing it and the world around us with those around us. Thanks, Brian, for getting all a way to connect and learn. That's a nice comment.
Yeah. That was an interesting show. I remember that one. That stood out quite a bit, I thought.
Yeah.
So should I do the next one?
Please, please.
This is 2542 from Clacker, how I helped my dad run a static website using SparkleShare. And Clacker says, what is SparkleShare? Did we comment on this and say what is
it? I believe so.
Apparently, I didn't explain what SparkleShare is, he says. It's Dropbox for Git. You tell it where your remote Git repo is, and it keeps an eye on it and keeps a local directory in sync. Whenever anything happens in the remote repo, it pulls that change and makes your local directory the same. Whenever you add, remove, or edit a file in your local directory, it creates a commit for your change and pushes it to the remote repo. Any conflicts that occur are resolved by creating a file name, something like myfileconflictedondate.txt. So you never have to understand anything about Git to use SparkleShare. Just play with your files in your directory. That's why it's so good for dads. That's amazing.
That's awesome. That might actually turn out to be very good for administrators of a website, actually, that wants to be,
I
like that.
I used to play around with the website. I haven't bothered with one for years, but I used to just rsync it through, I think I could do a, not rsync. I rsynced it to an FTP site or something. I can't remember what I did now I say that. But I used to use a manual method for doing this. And it this would have been so much better. Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful.
From Wikipedia, SparkleShare is an open source cloud storage and file synchronization client app. By default, it uses Git as the storage backend. SparkleShare is comparable to Dropbox, but the cloud storage can be provided by the user's own server or a hosted solution such as GitHub. I feel I'm wasting an episode here, Clacky.
Yes, there's many episodes on that subject.
And Clacky commenting again on his own show. Clarification. This seems to be the month for clarification. And this is the show about Stowe. He says, this is the month for clarification, judging from the feedback from Ken and Dave and the community news, smiley face. I'm adding a deeper Stowe show to my future show tags. I'm hearing an echo back.
I think we've just been joined by Hooker, who's got his sand on or something.
I've just muted him, so sorry about that, Ahuka. I'm adding a deeper Stowe show to my future show tag. But for now, here's what Dave was asking for. Stowe doesn't use any configuration. It's a simple, hard-coded behavior. When it stores things, it puts things in the parent directory of the Stowe directory. If you're in /home/clacky/stowe, and you do a Stowe foo, any stuff in home clacky Stowe foo lib gets symlinked to home clacky lib.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think I get that. Yeah. Okay. That's very clever.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Hiya.
I thought I was early.
Yeah, we did a smidgen early in the hope to... because I have a lot to do tonight. And we're actually... Because now we need to push things to archive.org, let's talk about that. Because we need to push things to archive.org and whatever, it makes it that we need to process the shows a lot sooner, and I wanted to do that tonight. So we're actually also I'm also suggesting that we move it to a Friday night instead of a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, as far as I'm concerned, that's possible.
For those of us who are working stiffs, that pretty much means we can't do it.
Yeah, that's a disadvantage. Yeah.
At least in this time zone.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And of course, you know how often I've made it. So,
so where are we, Dave, with the next comment? All right.
We're now at comment on 2557, and this is from Clacker again. He's been busy. His comment is killer feature. Wow, sorry about that. The trouble with having the windows open. I forgot to mention the killer feature, which is why we use sticks, apart from our great love for Nix. The ability to easily include content from remote sources. A sticks uses Nix for getting its input.
It's just as easy to build a page off a file in your local repository as getting a file from remote repository, HTTPO, or a whole bunch of files, or anything you can compute or get from a network, really. In fact, even the default templates in Styx are fetched this way. If you never use them, they never touch your computer. But if you include the standard templates in your site definition, Styx knows to go out and fetch them and put them in the right places. We use this to get documentation and changelog from our code repository into our website. Wow.
Exactly. I'm lost for words. If he keeps going on about this, I'm actually going to have to start using this and do more research into it.
Yeah. I feel I need to know a lot more about this. It does sound interesting.
Yeah. Okay, next comments were on Battling with English, Part 1, by Dave, you're doing it wrong, Morris. And Michael said, great idea, thanks for starting the series. While the first examples were obvious to me, I can see how they will be helpful on a global scope, given the diverse international HBR community. For the last bit, I have to admit, there were actually two new words I learned. Make that three with learned. Smiley face. Regards, Michael.
So I replied to that. Thanks, Michael. Glad you liked the episode. I'm amazed by the number of times I see then, ban, and there errors in forums, YouTube comments, and similar. I don't know if it's an autocorrect problem or what it is, but it's very common. I'm actively collecting similar problems, so I hope I'll have enough to make a few more episodes.
And Hipster says, Battling with English, interesting. I like to hear a little bit about the origins of the mix-up when it is historically interesting, like perhaps one word comes from French and the other from German, but not necessarily viewing communications as the problem and English as the flawed tool to solve is a good route to take. Looking forward to the next one.
So I replied to that one. Thanks, Hipster. That's a great suggestion. I spent some time looking at the etymology of the words I was talking about, as you can tell from the links, but I didn't consider talking about the subject. I'll mention such things in future if it seems relevant. Thanks for the feedback.
And this is another series I've requested from you before, Dave, and to go back to the point of I will find something for people to talk about.
Yeah, I know. I've been putting it off because... I was afraid I might get too contentious and ranty, but I've managed to control myself, so I'm probably good.
And Clacky's comment on the Pinebook, which was also noted in the community news, the laptops I'm queuing from the Pinebook, and he gave links to both of them.
Cool.
I'm still interested in this. I was looking at, I dusted off my old Acer Aspire laptop, which is just the perfect width, and was comparing it to the EEE PC, which is just too small. So, yeah.
Yes. I sent you a link
train.
to a Lenovo, didn't I? Yeah. So there's things around that might do what you need.
Yeah.
Look quite nice, actually.
Cool. Let's see what else is on the docket before we start chatting with Kevin. Kevin, I'm really annoyed with you. You were over cycling around Europe and you didn't bother to drop in for a cup of tea. Jeez, call yourself an Irishman.
Well, it was a pretty tightly scheduled trip.
I can't imagine that.
I got into Amsterdam about an hour before the boat left.
That would be pretty short, all right.
which was not the intention. But we had one of those mix-ups here because I had to fly from Detroit, where I am, Chicago, to catch then a flight to Dublin. But there was a storm in Chicago, and basically we couldn't leave Detroit until the storm stopped. But as soon as the storm stopped, the flight to Dublin left. We were kind of scrambling around to find it. Fortunately, the airline was able to hook us up instead with a direct flight to Amsterdam, but it was 24 hours.
Ouch.
So it was like, you know, land at Schiphol, take the train into Amsterdam, and then run for the boat. We made it.
Yeah, that's the best part. Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was, you know, I had a number of people, oh, you should see so-and-so. You know, we went into Belgium and was like, oh, well, you know, you should go down and see some of the Belgium. And, you know, I didn't really have any. But it was a great trip. You're probably familiar with these boat and bike tours?
Nope. If you live in a place, then you never do that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a touristy thing. But a lot of them come out of Amsterdam. And so the idea is the boat is, it's a barge as much as anything. You have a cabin that basically you can sleep in, and that's about it. Very, very basic. But the idea is that you don't really, all you do in there is sleep. Everything else, so you get up in the morning, you have your breakfast, and then you get on your bike and you start cycling. And
cool.
By the end of the day, you'll meet up with the boat downstream somewhere.
That sounds wonderful. I like the sound of that.
Yeah,
actually, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool.
So we worked our way from Amsterdam to Bruges.
No, I hear that's a nice city. Haven't been to it yet.
I would do it. It's quite a lovely place. You know, one of the things that I think everyone should try and get to if they're ever in the area. Now, what we're looking at now is that 2019 is our 40th wedding anniversary. And thought, well, you know, we should do something special. So we're looking at doing a river cruise on the...
Oh, cool. They leave every morning from Schiphol.
Well, yeah.
Strangely.
I've seen they go, you know, either direction. So we were also looking at one that starts in Basel and winds up in Amsterdam. So I guess you can go either way. Probably cool. Not gas if you're going with the...
Yeah, but you're not paying for it, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, I just did record two more shows.
Excellent, because we're the summer months tends to dry up.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, there's two comments. We had a thingy about the phonetic show name, and Dave, you put a comment in about that. Do you want to go through that workflow changes?
Oh yeah. It's an AOB thing actually, but. Makes sense to put it here. Hold on a second.
Haha, caught you.
You did. See, we normally do them in a different order. So yeah, I added a thing in the notes about changes to the workflow. And what we did was, I think we talked a bit about this before. I made a change to the database to add an additional version of everybody's host name or handle or whatever. And the idea was that would be the one that eSpeak would use as part of the audio preamble. So that way we could go and change it to make it make eSpeak speak it properly. So the example, it was the love bug who mentioned this originally. So his name is being pronounced as Bell of Bug, which I think is lovely. But all you needed to do is add capitals to it, and it's an eSpeak says it correctly. So, and you can have incorporated the use of this field into the workflow, I think, as of some point towards the end of the month, middle or end of month, was it?
Yeah, it's Tony Hughes's one. Come on.
So I went through the database and changed all the obvious ones to produce names that, you know, I played them in eSpeak to see if they sounded awful. And if they did, I tried to make them sound the way I thought they should be. But just made the note here that I haven't catered for everything. And if your name's being mispronounced by eSpeak, then let us know and we'll have a go at making it right.
I kind of like the way I pronounce my name.
Did you? Oh, okay. Did you undo it? Because I put
no,
you
on
it. Pronounce yours right. Fallen Ken.
Yeah. Yes, fallen.
Yeah. Anyway, that's where we are with that.
I think we're done.
Well, I got one thing that I just thought I would mention, because, as I said, I just recorded a couple of shows and I'm getting ready to upload them. By an interesting coincidence, I recently put SSL certs on all of my websites, and it looks to me like maybe you don't have one on Hacker Public Radio. And I mention that because what I have heard is that, like, Google will knock you down in the rankings, and, you know, if you don't have a secure site, you'll show up on page 4.
Yeah, I don't care. But fine. Although I'm reading Hacker Public Radio on HTTPS, hackerpublicradio.org, right now.
Oh, okay. So you just don't have it.
Yeah, I don't know how I ended up here. Well, we don't redirect to it, but I guess we could. Yeah, okay, fine. sorry, I had so much crap with SSL certs in the last week, and various different other things, that it is like throwing salt in the wound. So, yes, fine. Dave, can you send me a note?
Yes, I just wrote it down.
I bet you did. I personally, Kevin, I agree with you that we should have SSL certs, but I also find it annoying that it has been imposed by a company when everything on our website. So here's the thing. As far as I'm aware, HTTPS works in Hacker Public Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's not going to affect the ranking.
And I'm getting, we can't find that site.
https://hackerpublicradio.org.
Oh, sorry, typo. Correct that. And there we go.
And it's got a nice gray secure connection and verified by cPanel link, blah, blah, blah. So as far as I'm concerned, we're sorted as far as the rankings are concerned. However, every single piece of information that's on Hacker Public Radio is open to the public and does need to be encrypted. Yes, fine, yeah. I understand. But on the other hand, there is an argument, says he, arguing with himself, that some people might be in work or somewhere and would be not interested to know, for example, might be listening to one of the more sensitive shows, for example, life inside of a, you know, dealing with mental health issues, might not want that publicly known. So yes, we have it there. The unencrypted site ain't going away anytime soon. So, yeah.
Yeah. I know with mine, it was pretty easy to sort of say, always make a connection secure, because I could do it inside a WordPress. Really nothing more than putting a check mark in a...
Yeah, but then you're somebody's on a machine that doesn't have SSL installed. We are Hacker Public Radio after all, and somebody might be connecting in via Telnet.
Well, if they're trying to connect to my site, Telnet...
Exactly.
I don't have a Telnet server.
Well, you can go Telnet port 80, and then you get a text back.
I'm not sure I want to encourage that sort of thing, but...
We're Hacker Public Radio. That's what we do. We encourage that sort of thing. And what's the difference between you calling it up from a Telnet console and you going to a browser? The same call is made. It's exactly the same thing.
Well, because Telnet is inherently insecure.
Yes, because it's in clear text. That's why it's in...
I did a series of shows on SSH, you know.
Yeah, I do know, but my... I saying that we don't need to encrypt everything. There's some things don't need to be encrypted. And also, if all the sites disappear into SSL, then we can't learn the protocols necessary to secure the protocols. But I agree with you. Fine.
Yeah. No, I'm partly just teasing.
You're poking me with a stick. You're poking me with a stick.
Obviously, everything on my site is intended to be open, and if I didn't have to, I never would have done it. But you know, basically, this whole thing about, you know, I don't want to disappear from the searches.
I find that admirable, but at the same time, I find it a bit bullying, the tactics. We say, we decide this is a new policy. And I'm a bit concerned that they will force... who's rattling their microphone? Is that you?
I don't think I'm rattling them.
Okay. I'm a bit concerned that they will suddenly decide, well, we're going to force HTML2 down on everybody, and then all of a sudden... simple web pages can't be constructed by novices anymore. So, I get what you're trying to do, but also no, not overly happy with the concept.
Okay. I just thought I'd mention it.
No, good. Just checked, and our man Josh has taken care of it. Everything is... that's what broke the comment feed, remember? Yeah. Remember that saga, Dave?
I do indeed. Yes. That's why we changed the comment feed. And
yes, that's exactly it.
And that's why we have it now.
Okay. With that, I think we're done.
All right.
12 years, 8 months, and 26 days to go. Oh, there was one other thing, and that was the reservation of the 2600 show.
Can't imagine what they have in mind.
Neither have I. And I may also be reserving a show for coverage of a Linux Foundation conference that's been held here in Amsterdam. I've reached out to the press guy, because tickets are starting at 400 euros, to see if I could represent HPR, and he seems open to the idea. So we may be putting in a reservation for that later on.
Very good.
Cool.
Okay, with that, I will bid you adieu, and tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of...
Hacker
Public
Radio! You waiting for me just saying here?
And share the software.
You'll be free.
Free hackers.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.